My guest is Rachel Maddow, recipient of the 2010 Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Award, given by Interfaith Alliance, and host of The Rachel Maddow Show on MSNBC. I want to talk about a word that I don't associate with you at all, just the opposite, and that's this word fake news. Mm. I never would associate that with you, but I would like for you to talk for a minute or so about how fake news, that whole thing, is affecting the way people deal with media. And I'd also like you to talk about, with our listeners, how can we know what's fake and what's authentic?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that phrase is more an epithet than a label.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing intrinsic about a particular piece of reporting a particular piece of real reporting.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you whether or not it's going to be called fake news. You know, mm-hmm. nobody's earning that. Nobody in the real news media who's writing factual information is earning that moniker. It's just thrown as an epithet
mm-hmm.
By the supporters of the administration and sometimes by the president himself as a way to discount and insult news they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it operates on a couple of levels. All presidents hate the media. Some of them do it with more vigor than others. I mean, Barack Obama used to frequently talk about how bad cable news was and how he never watched it and it was terrible for America. And he would, you know, lump MSNBC in with Fox News like we were all equally evil. Okay, you know, thanks, Mr. President. Cheers. You know, I didn't appreciate that either. He never called the press the enemy of the state, mm-hmm. nor did he, you know, berate and insult individual news outlets for sport among mm-hmm. among his supporters. So it's operating at a couple different levels. I think they want to. This is their particular way of waging war in the press. But the other part of it is the Russia story. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that Russia attacked our election was twofold. They had what appears to have been a covert action by mostly military intelligence sources to hack information out of the U.S. political system, specifically mostly out of the Democratic Party, a little bit out of the Clinton campaign. And then they turned that information around, released it in a way that was sort of weaponized to make the most damage in our system. The other thing they did was they used Russian state-run media outlets and also social media to invent false stories or to circulate partially true, mostly false stories in ways that were most damaging to the Clinton campaign and would help the Trump folks the most. They really did make stuff up. There really was fake news, stuff that mm-hmm. did not come from a news background at all. It was created wholesale to have a political effect in this foreign intelligence operation. That really did happen in the campaign by essentially turning that around, saying, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say sticks to me.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to neutralize that critique of how Russia attacked the election. And that is something I think we can't really let them get away with.
Before you ever go on the air, when you're dealing with a story, how do you decide whether this is authentic or questionable?
It's the same way we've always done it. I mean, I was talking earlier about how I have editorial independence. I get to talk about what I want. I have a deal with my deal with MSNBC from the beginning has always been they will not tell me what to cover, what not to cover, or how to cover anything that I cover.
Mm-hmm.
But I also agree that I will abide by NBC News rules and standards mm-hmm. in terms of what we put on the air. And that has all sorts of very specific logic in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, things needing to be double sourced, there needing to be transparency about the sourcing of things when we are working from other people's reporting that has not been independently corroborated by NBC News. We mm-hmm. cite the named source of the reporting. We state overtly if we've got any concerns or even things of interest to note about the sourcing of that material. Mm-hmm. I mean, the solution on this, it's like free speech. The solution is more of it. Be transparent. Say where this news came from. Say what the origin of it was. And when you've done that, it means that other people can reproduce your work or at least decide for themselves mm-hmm. whether or not that sourcing seems true to them. I think there's more and more pressure because of this epithet, this fake news epithet mm-hmm. being thrown around. There's more and more pressure for people to identify sources by name or position or the means by which they would have access to this information that they are leaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. I mean, anonymous yeah. sources is not a healthy thing. So I just feel like people need to get really aggressive in terms of explaining what makes real news real news.
So, Rachel, with people listening to us, what should we be most interested in seeing what happens now? What are you looking at? What should our listeners be looking at in the days immediately ahead?
I think there are two things that I am sort of most on the edge of my seat about, both as a citizen and as a person who's interested in the news. One of them is, will there be consequences? Will we return to political norms and to what we previously understood as the sort of rules of the game when it comes to base corruption?
Mm-hmm.
So when you've got somebody working as a regulatory advisor to the White House who is making recommendations to change regulations that will affect his own investments, that's not okay. When you've got people who are working on behalf of the White House bringing in CEOs to the White House for meetings that will affect the value of those companies, it turns out that official owns stock in those companies.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got somebody who's got a position of power in the legislature overseeing, in Tom Price's case, overseeing healthcare companies, and he's buying and selling stock in healthcare companies and then writing and co-sponsoring legislation that affects the price of those companies he holds stock in. Like, there's really base level corruption stuff, even beyond the issues of the conflict of interest with the family, the Trump family, and him bringing his children into high government posts. I am, as a citizen and as a news watcher, very interested to see whether or not there will be accountability for base level corruption. Because if not, if we're just throwing our mores out the window on mm-hmm. that, if we're just going to become like Uzbekistan on this stuff, that's something that's very, very hard to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
Once you let that stuff slide, you've set precedent. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the investigations into the Russia thing.
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot about what Russia did. The piece of it that we don't know is whether or not the campaign that won the election was helping. And that is going to be an existential question when it finally gets answered.
Yeah. Be a viewer for a moment. And you're watching television. What makes you want to scream at the television set? What makes you angry? What is it you're feeling that's churning that, and where does that come from on what you're seeing on television?
Mostly, well, you know me well enough to know that if I am watching television, it's probably football.
It's probably New England.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I know. And now everybody's screaming at the radio, New England. I know. I know. I try not to absorb too much. I try not to absorb too much of content that is similar to what I create, because in part I don't want to inadvertently steal from people. So I don't watch other people who do the kind of work that I do. At least I don't watch them very much because I don't want to accidentally ape what other people are doing. That's part of it. In terms of my frustrations with the way the news is being covered right now, I do get frustrated when people treat the administration, even the president himself, as if he can be trusted to provide you factual information.
Mm-hmm.
When the White House rebuts an otherwise well-reported story and insists mm-hmm. that something isn't true, that is an interesting fact about the White House, that they are insisting that it's not true, but that doesn't actually count as a factual mm-hmm. confirmation or denial. So that to me is, I want there to be, I think this White House has earned healthy skepticism when it comes to their factual assertions. And it frustrates me when reporters or anchors, even people consuming the news, treat them as if they have credibility.
What kind of emotions or thoughts do you have that you can't say on national television?
That I would still be willing to say into this microphone? Nice try.
I try the best I can.
Exactly. Will you tell me a secret? No. No, listen, I mean, I really feel like we were made for this. We were made for this. And when you have an organism, system, body of some kind that is shocked, you don't just study the shock. You study the organism. You study the body. You study the system to see how it responds to that shock. It tells you a lot about the health of that system and its resilience to see how it copes. And I think the way that we are coping as a country, we're learning a lot about the resilience of our republic. And there's, you know, multiple articles in the in the Constitution. And I'm very, very proud to be part of the press corps in this country right now, given the very, very good work that has happened thus far in terms of ferreting out the truth about this administration that they don't want known. And, you know, we're going to have to be strong and nimble and resilient, and we need to take care of ourselves. And we're at a time when we're confronted by a very, very, very radical change at the top. And if we have stuff that we want to stand up for and defend, we're going to have to be good at it. And I relish the challenge. And I feel like, well, all right, now we know what the fight of our lives is. Maybe we didn't know before, but now we know.